Hallelujah. What way are we talking about? Praise the Lord. I was talking with a prophet yesterday, and he had a presbytery where people come into a particular room where he was ministering, and he said to this lady, he said, when you go home, God will answer your prayers. And the lady was so despondent. I mean, she said, oh, man, come on, give me a break. And she was very, very discouraged. You know, some people go to a prophet thinking that a prophet is a magician that will have a magic wand that will tell them their future. If you want to know your future, they've got something better than a prophet. He bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Amen. So there's a place for the prophetic and the apostolic and pastoring and all those things, but that's not where you primarily get your guidance from. All right. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. Anyway, the same lady came to the conference the following year, and she came to the same prophet with her husband, and she tell the prophet this story. Said, when you prophesied over me last year, that And then she went home, and when they came the following year, she said to him, it's just like somebody just deflated my tire. You know what people, you know, their expectations, you know. She said, when I left your presbytery, I was not very happy. I was so discouraged. I was annoyed, and I thought, is that all? And when she came the following year and came to the same guy, I said, I want you to know that I am over the top of the top of the world, because what you said exactly came to pass. And sometimes we want goosebumps on our goosebumps when all you may have is water. You just need to fill your water jars, and God can turn your sorrows into joy, your ashes into beauty, your heaviness into praise, and your water into wine. One of the things we shared last time, the miraculous happen every day, and we need to open our eyes to that. But if you don't add the eternity to time, sometimes you'll get very, very discouraged. Because many times you will never see what God sees until you see with the eyes of eternity. But are you okay? And the Bible says Jesus endured the cross because he saw the joy beyond the cross. And sometimes we only look at what's happening right there, and we're so blinded with our own need, we think God can't fix it. There's a particular church in the States, and their pastor was unwell, and the whole church fasted and prayed and believed God, confessed the word of God, and the pastor died. And they were so discouraged. And somebody asked, why did he die? Did we not believe God? Did we do it wrong? You know why he died? He wanted to go home. Nobody wanted to ask him, what do you want? And so his wife said, while you were praying and fasting, he was preparing his funeral. Hello? He was ready to go home. And sometimes we are ready to go home and we can't go. Sometimes we don't want to go home, but we go. And unless you add eternity to things that we only know in time and the capacity of our mind to comprehend, sometimes you'll get very annoyed at God. But I want you to know something. God has never yet made a mistake. Are you okay? Say amen. You know, God makes everything beautiful in his time. Even your sorrow even your pain. God makes everything beautiful in His time. There was a lady we used to know and lived opposite us. She had everything that you can imagine. You know, things were all right. And she was never satisfied. Always complaining. And then there was another lady who has not been to bed for 38 years. She couldn't lie down because of the arthritis in her body. And her whole world was just a one-room cottage on the top of the hill looking down at the streets of Tehachapi. And she's in a kind of wheelchair. And she's never been to bed because she can't lie down. The wheelchair she sits in is her whole world. But if you meet her, you will come out so on fire. She said to me, you know, the first time I went there, and she said to me, you want a cup of tea? And I looked at her, and I thought, it'll take her about 45 minutes to try and get to the sink, let alone boil the kettle. I said, no, thank you. She said, you, young man, you're saying that because you're pitying me. You think I can't make you a cup of tea. And I got so rebuked. And I said, I'll have a cup of tea. Well, it didn't take her that long to make a cup of tea. Then she said, do you want a piece of cake? I said, yeah. So she got out this cake from this tin. It looks like it's been in there forever. But the fruit was nice. And she cut the thing. It was the most beautiful fruit cake I've ever had up to that time. And I sat down and talked with her. And she said, look, don't feel sorry for me. I'm here and I look down at the town and I pray for the town every moment of my life. I haven't been to bed for 38 years, but I love God and I love this place. I love my life. This is great. Now, that woman never understood eternity. Hello? And I get so annoyed at people. When somebody dies, they pray them back. Have you ever asked a guy if he want to come back? I mean, who would want to come back from heaven? Hello? I know of a pastor in Sydney, and they went to his brother's grave quite a long time after he died and thought they were going to pray him back. I thought, how stupid can you be and still be a pastor? Eyes have not, nor ear, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has in store. If in this life only we have hope, you are miserable. Because you only live for this life. That was good. Hallelujah. Amen. So some of the things that we go through are never understood until you read the Bible. And, you know, it's the Bible says the day of your death is better than the day of your every day of your life. Not the day you got your degree, not the day you were born, the day you die is the best day of your life. Now, you never understand that unless you have a perspective of eternity. To go to the house of sorrow is better to go to the house that you have a party. And most of us will bust our head to get to a party and don't go to a funeral. Hello? I just thought I'd let you know. Hallelujah. Amen. So you live with a perspective of eternity and you make decisions because of that perspective. The Bible says Moses endured. Moses chose to be a slave. He chose to reject the throne of Egypt, and everything Egypt had to give him, he chose to be a slave because he saw him who was invisible. What a magnificent decision. He chose that because he had a perspective of eternity. I want to ask you a question. Do you know the name of the Pharaoh? How many people know the name of that Pharaoh? How many people know the name of the daughter of the Pharaoh that raised Moses? How many people know Moses? Hello? See, our perspective. And if you're not careful, you will bust your head trying to live for only 50 years plus 20, maybe plus another 10. And you think you're great. If the years that you live determines the value of your life, then Jesus Christ died in vain. You know why? Because he died at 30. Life is not measured in the years that you live. Life is measured in the influence that it has. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Say amen. Now, there are things, some of those miraculous occurrences in our lives, as we shared, sometimes our breakthrough comes from obedience in things that are physical. And sometimes we need to do things, sometimes that are not the protocol. I mean, I'm not suggesting that you try and break laws every time, but sometimes you need to come out of the protocols and do things as you hear him say so. And when you look at scripture and when you look at history, you will be amazed at what God did just because somebody simply obeyed. Hallelujah. When they came out of the waters of the Red Sea and they began to sing and praise God, it's fantastic to worship God when things are victorious. The only problem is we only see victory from our perspective. Hallelujah. For example, let me give you an example that will just probably rearrange your head. The Bible says, by faith, Moses left Egypt. You know the story. You know why he left? He got kicked out. Why? Because he killed a guy. Now, try then and fathom, got kicked out of Egypt because he killed a guy. And what God says, by faith, Moses left Egypt, not wanting to be the son of the daughter of the king, because he considered the suffering of Christ to be far more significant treasures than the treasures of Egypt. Now, did he leave by faith or was he kicked out? Hello? Are you okay? See, we only see things from our perspective, and sometimes we judge people from our perspective. We never understand. Are you okay? Say amen. And some miraculous things happen when we do things strangely out of the norm. When they broke the roof of the house and lowered down a guy. It was a magnificent roof. It was a nice roof. There's no need to break the roof. But when they broke it, they got a miracle. Sometimes we need to break some of our roofs. You're allowed to say amen. We are supposed to be Pentecostals. Hallelujah. Say amen. And sometimes our theology and our practice may not go well, because sometimes our practice is very miraculous. Our theology may not even, hello? And our problem is we try to be so theologically correct that we keep on keeping the Sabbath, and the Lord keep on eating stuff on the Sabbath and healing people on the Sabbath when He's supposed to be keeping the Sabbath. Hallelujah. Are you okay? So in moving in the miraculous, one has to learn to obey. And when, like I said, when I heard Derek Prince said, miracles are practical, I thought, he's daft. But he said, miracles. And I realized he was correct. As you practice just, you know, filling your water, as you practice this, be doers of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving yourselves. Our problem is we know the Bible, and just because we know, we think we are practicing it. Just because you know does not mean you're practicing it. And if you know it and not practicing it, you're self-deceived. If you know you should tithe and don't, you're self-deceived. If you know you should pray for people to get healed and not doing it, you're self-deceived. You need to practice. And as often as you practice this word, you're going to see the miraculous, because God will stand behind His word to see that the word will perform. When I tell my children to do something, I never tell them twice. Never. I said, I need the lawns mowed. And if the lawns are not mowed in a day, I'll mow it. And then they'll come back, Dad, I was going to do that. I said, I wanted it done. Maybe I was just suggesting it, but I wanted it done. I say, wash the dishes. If they don't, 5 minutes later, I'll be washing the dishes. I say, can I have a cup of tea? If it's not there in 10 minutes, I'll get up. Dad, I was going to make a cup of tea. You know what? Many of us have great intentions. Why? Because we know the Bible. We have great intentions, but we'll practice it when it's convenient to us and miss the miraculous. Hallelujah. If I ask you to do something and then you see me do it, you know that you're too late. Hallelujah. Are you okay? You're very quiet. You should say amen to that too. Hallelujah. And some of the things God will have us do are very different sometimes from what we would do. God's answer is not a conference. God's answer is not an offering. God's answer is a man, a woman. That's the answer. The answer of God to every need of the planet is in a man. It's not in your account, as long as you think it's in your money. You'll miss God 100 miles. It's in you. When God gets you, He gets your money. But if God doesn't get you, you can still eat your own bananas. Yeah. Are you okay? Say amen. So when they came out of this Red Sea and they began to sing, you imagine close to 1 million Hebrew women with tambourines beginning to shake the planet. That whole thing was like a war zone. I mean, it was an earthquake bigger than the earthquake in Christchurch, but this was praise and worship. They were worshiping God. And sometimes when victory comes, we ought to. Yeah. When it's victorious, we ought to lift our hands in victory and shout unto God with a voice of triumph and clap your hands, all ye people. He didn't say, clap your hands, all ye Pentecostals, and the rest can stay behind. No, no. When he says, all ye people, it included the churches that don't clap their hands. God's not going to rewrite the Bible for your doctrine. So when it's victorious, we ought to praise God. And it's fantastic. But when it's not from what we see, then do what Paul and Silas did, that even though everything was going the wrong way, it was a negative situation, it was a terrible time, they got jailed with chains in their hands and feet, and they decided to, how great is our God? And when they did, God heard from heaven, and he began to sing, and the angel said, what are you singing for, Dad? Well, they haven't got any bass. Sounds like Pastor Stevens and Mr. Mealing singing. So, hello? And God sang bass in the earthquake and everything broke loose. So when they came and they sang, then they came to the waters of Marah and everything was bitter. From victory to bitterness. And God said, just throw a tree in the drink. Now you say, how can God throw a whole tree in the drink? Now you need to understand Hebrews. Because in Hebrews, a stick is a tree. A dead piece of wood is a tree. And a live tree is a tree. That's why Peter said himself took our sins on his own body on the tree. Now, hello? In Samoa, a tree is a tree. It's called a la'au. A la'au is either standing or lying down. It's either alive or dead. It's still called a la'au. In Hebrew, that's a tree. And God said, put a tree in the drink. And the waters to this day, are still sweet. And sometimes we miss the miraculous because God will tell us to do something so seem out of the norm. How can a tree sweeten bitterness? Except the bitterness of our lives is sweetened by one tree. God's best gift came hanging on that tree. Hallelujah. We think we got Christmas trees. Wait until you see God's Christmas tree. God's Christmas tree had a gift hanging on it. And that tree sweetens every bitterness if you will allow that tree. Hallelujah. And sometimes the miraculous is missed, passes us by, because when God tells us to do something that is out of norm from our, just throw a tree in the drink. But an act of symbol obedience is a fantastic thing. I was speaking in Bangkok few days ago, hello, and God said, I want you to have a midweek service, just 1 hour, sing and praise and pray. I said, thank you. So we're going to do it. Unfortunately for me, well, it's not unfortunately for others, but it's okay for me because that's the way I operate. Sometimes I don't write things on paper. I just do it when I hear it. And I remember an eldership I used to have. It used to frustrate the living daylights out of them. Because they would say, what are we going to do, Pastor? I have no idea. Who's preaching? I said, I don't know. I suppose I will. What are you preaching on? I have no idea. And I used to frustrate them. And guess what? They used to frustrate me. Because everything has to work on paper before it works. Well, I'm not a paper man. When we went to see the Prime Minister, we were rehearsing what to say to the Prime Minister, and then somebody was putting down stuff to say to the Prime Minister and trying to write them down, and someone said, he's not a paper man. Have you ever seen the Prime Minister read something from paper? Hardly any. He just talks on his feet. Hello? Are you okay? I'm not saying that putting things on paper. You need to read Joel. Now, there are Joel people in the church, and there are Isaiah people in the church. The Isaiah people is line upon line, word upon word, precept upon precept. Joel people, anything goes. They're both in the church. We need to be a bit of Isaiah and a bit of Joel. But Isaiah will frustrate Joel, and Joel will kill Isaiah. They're still in your family. These are the people of your family. Don't look at me like that. They're your family. When you get to heaven, you'll find out the people in your family, they're crazy. Hallelujah. But these simple acts, and you see them all over the Bible, these simple acts of obedience that seem to be so crazy releases the miraculous, not because of the act, but because somebody dared obey God. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Now, when Joshua was fighting the Amalekites, and Moses was on the top of the mountain, what has Moses' hands got to do with Joshua's victory? And yet, many Bible expositors will try and spiritualize that. And there are spiritual significance, but the act was a physical act. Just something physical. Something simple, something out of the ordinary, but somebody had to, boom. And the victory was won, not because Joshua fight, because every time those hands came down, victory is lost. But every time he goes up, and sometimes we just need to obey God, forget the rest. And when they came down, Aaron and her, I don't know her name, but he was there. Aaron and her came and lifted up his hand. And then they set him down on a rock and lifted up his hand. And the hands. Hallelujah. And sometimes those little physical acts of obedience, there's something in it that releases the power of God and the miraculous occurrences of the Spirit. Are you all right? You know, when they came to Ai, they just had a huge victory in Jericho. I mean, can you imagine being a leader and you get those instructions? You've got a city that's the gates of the promised land, and so entrenched, history is there, hasn't moved. Everybody that wants to get to the promised land had to go through this city. And then God gives you instructions, just walk around the city for 7 days. And by the way, shut up, don't talk. Now those are irrational instructions, but they needed radical obedience. And they just walk around. Can you imagine, all these women that were talking inside? Now, a man will be talking, but these ladies, they need to release their reservoir of words every day. They have to make withdrawals and from their banking account of words, you know. They have to release words, but they can't release them because now they don't talk for 7 days. And they're just walking around. And inside, he said, what a crazy woman. They try to make sense of what's going on because the instructions are so stupid. And then they walk around, and the people of Jericho looking down, and, just sombering, walking, all in their regalia, and nobody was saying anything. And then on the seventh day, they walk around seven times. Oh, they're doing it. Oh, there's another round. There's another round. And there's another round. And on the seventh round, something happened. A trumpet blasted and everything, and the walls came down. Now imagine having that victory. Great victory. And then God said, take Ai. And Ai is so small compared to this big city. That they know they sent spies and they came back and said, we don't have to send the whole church. Just a few people can come and pray. Everybody can have their own good time at home. You know, it's only a small town. And they got defeated. And Joshua went to the Lord. And God told him what to do. Deal with what's happened in the camp. And then told him how to ambush the city. And then God gave Joshua one simple instruction that many people miss when they read the story. He said, point your spear at Ai and don't retreat. And sometimes when you point, your hands are tired, things happen, and you want to lower your hand and forget. But he said, point your spear. The people will be fighting, but I want you to point. I want you to focus. I want you to look. But I want you to point your spear at Ai. And sometimes when things are going wrong, keep on pointing the spear. What has pointing the spear got to do with anything? All because God says, I said, point your spear and don't retrieve it until victory is done. I remember great minister in the States. Well, let me start the story differently. Sat down in a restaurant in the South Island with a young pastor and his wife. And he said, we just lost 57,000, 57A, in a deal, trying to get a property. And I'm so embarrassed, I'm hurt that we lost that. And I've yet to tell the church. I said, how much was the deal? He said, oh, about 2 million. I said, tell the church, that's nothing. You lose money on deals. That's nothing. 57,000 is nothing. And when he said 57, it was significant to me because God told me to raise 57,000. I have no idea why. But I said, tell the church. But what I didn't tell him was a church in the States. And they lost 1 million in a deal. This was not recently. This was going back probably 25 years ago. At the time, $1 million was $1 million. The pastor, the board, lost $1 million trying to get this deal. And the pastor couldn't sleep. And so one Sunday morning he said, I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to tell you what's in my heart. Because we just lost $1 million. And after his message, he said, thank you very much for allowing me to say that to you. One of his business people came up to him and he said, "So you lost $1 million in the deal?" He said, "Yes." He said, "That is nothing. You lose dollars in deals." And he said he was so relieved. Here is a guy who's a business guy, a multimillionaire, and he can lose $12 million in a day and make $24 million the following day. He said, that's just the way it runs. Don't worry. Sometimes when we lose $1 million like that, we retrieve the spear. You may sleep well at night, but I don't, because I retrieve the spear, that thing. I never retrieve the spear. I'm still pointing at that thing. That's not for me. That's for our kids. Are you all right? After we build that thing, you'll still have money in your pocket. But if you think it's your money that builds it, it's not. It's you. Hey, are you all right? Very quiet in this Presbyterian church. And those simple acts of obedience in doing things that are out of our thinking norm. Hallelujah. When they got sick, got bitten by serpents, the fiery serpents, God said, "Mo, make a serpent. Make a fiery serpent out of brass. Put it on a huge pole, and everyone that's sick can look at that serpent and get healed." How many know that if you're bitten by a serpent and then you keep looking at the serpent, you might get bitten again? And yet that simple act of obedience, if you will construct this, if you will put this, you put your eyes on it, you'll get healed. And John picked it up and said, as Moses lifted up the serpent, he lifted up something that doesn't resemble anything godly. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so Christ is lifted up, and every eye that is on that, if I be lifted up from the earth, I shall draw all men unto me. He didn't say I shall draw every resource. He said I shall draw all men unto me. Amen. Look at the harvest. Whatever else we're doing, we're looking at, you know, he said, look at the harvest. The harvest is plenteous, but the bank account is empty. No, the laborers. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers. Send forth people. Not send forth people with money. Send forth people. We are so limited by this money stuff. He didn't say, pray to the Lord of the harvest that you'll get more money. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that people will be sent for. Hello? Read the book. And we miss the miraculous. And don't send people because we're restricted by stuff. And then we come to church and say, how great is our God. And God looks at us and says, am I? Say amen. Hallelujah. When they said, Pastor, the place we live at is too small. Let's go down and build And he said, okay, come, let's build together. So they went down to the river. They built at the river. And as they were cutting down trees, the cutting edge got blunted, fell down into the river. The axe head broke. And sometimes when we're building, the axe head may break. And he said, oh, it's a borrowed axe. You know what he did? He got a tree and threw the tree in the drink. And the miracle happened. The axe head. How many know iron don't float except for a cruise ship? But axe heads, when they fall into the rivers, the axe heads don't float on the top. They go to the bottom, but when the tree hit the drink, that thing came up. And he said, grab it and make it your own. And sometimes all these things can happen because we are radical in obedience on the simplicity of things that God tells us to do, even though it may not compute with the way our minds are trained. Hallelujah. Let me read this to you, and then we'll close. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. I could preach this again and we'll be here till the next year. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers. Your people shall be willing in the day of your power, in the day of your visitation, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. When does dew come back to you who may be thinking, I'm no longer a youth? It comes back when people volunteer in the day of God's power. When obedience is radical in the day when he says, the Bible says, you will have the dew, your youth, the resurrection, the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn, will not relent, you're a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink of the brook by the wayside. Therefore, he shall lift up the head. Lift up your heads to the coming king. Bow before him and adore him. Sing. Oh, sing. To his majesty, let your praises be pure and holy. Hallelujah. Give him glory to the King of great kings. Let us be a willing people in the day of his visitation. You want to give some lunch to the lunchbox? You'll be very welcome. Let's stand together. Bless our lives. Let your word not return void. Let it challenge us, refresh our minds, open the eyes of our understanding, refresh our hearts. and give us new perspectives. Bless your people, I pray. If you got a need, you just lift your hand. I'll just include you in the prayer. Hallelujah. Father, I pray our hands that are uplifted to you. You know each of us by name. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to seek out those whose hearts are perfect towards you, whose hearts are willing. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land, the Lord says. Father, bless your people now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you great peace. We thank you, Father. Thank you that the Lord our God in the midst of us is mighty. Thank you for your presence in our lives. We give you honor and glory and praise. You're a good God to us. In Jesus' name.